Hello and welcome to Culture Shots on Near FM. Celine Quinn here with you this week. On the show, I'm joined in studio by Ibun Akpoveta, author, counsellor, pastor, motivational speaker and intercultural consultant. Ibun's work addresses critical issues affecting individuals' social and spiritual development, and she advocates for equality for all. Her core message is empowering people to actualize their full potential using life-changing principles to release their best self and society. She is the founder of the Unforgettable Women's Network and the author of the new book, Becoming Unforgettable, Uncovering the Essence of the Woman. Thank you for joining me, Ibun.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. So I might start with a little bit of a quote there. Becoming unforgettable is the insightful analysis of the life of an ordinary woman who by one singular act became unforgettable. Let's start with, who are these unforgettable women?
I think that every time we go back through history, you know, we see women who've impacted the world, you know, people, women who have changed the world, you know, they've done something in their own little ways, you know, and when I say that, it doesn't have to be the Margaret Thatchers of the world or Marie Curie or the role that every woman has played, you know, in where we are today. And those are the unforgettable women. I mean, if you look at a young person and you ask him, maybe his mom, you know, is the unforgettable woman in his life. You know, maybe a grandmother is the unforgettable woman in his life. You know, so we all, you know, as women are unforgettable. It's not only those who have changed the world, you know, and that's one thing I say, that every woman is important. And when society begins to realize and place value, the equal valuing of the female person, where she's not just an appendage or an object to gratify people's sexual urges or baby producing factory, but when she's a person in her own right, every female person that we see is an unforgettable woman.
Why did you write this book? What happened in your own life? Tell us your own life journey up till to the point where you wrote this book.
I am originally from Nigeria, and if those of you who know the African culture, you know that the female child is not seen, you know, is not valued, you know. When a male child is born, you know, there's a lot of joy and celebration. But when a female child is born, it's like, oh, just another, you know, child has been born.
Another,
you
know, mouth to feed.
Another mouth to feed. Another person who's going to just, all she can do is to just get married and that's the end of her. And so growing up, you know, I just promised myself that I am a person of value. You know, that my value is not going to be dictated by my gender. So, and I think that every one of us, we're all driven by something. I'm driven by that mm-hmm. you know, that my gender is not going to be a limitation, you know, on me, that whatever I want to do, whoever I want to be, I can be. And I keep saying that there's no female brain or male brain, female ability or male abilities, you know, we can be whatever we want to be. The major reason why I wrote it is because I have seen that it is possible. The fact that women don't have enough information, mm-hmm. we allow society, tradition, religion, culture, families, brothers to dictate to us who we are and who we can be. Mm-hmm. We forget the awesomeness, the power of our imaginations. The biggest assets that we have as humans is our mind and our time. Those are the two assets that we have. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as women, the asset of our mind is controlled by so many things. So we've learned how to be the good woman. We've learned how women are supposed to behave to be accepted. You know, and there's such a huge need in every one of us to belong. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book to get women to begin to see themselves from the inside, where they become, where their frame of reference is internal, not the external, where they don't keep looking to others to tell them that they are okay, but where you can come to a place and look at you and say, girl, you're okay. When they ask you, us as women, who are you? We tell you whose wife we are. We tell you whose mother we are. We know we don't see ourselves as people on our own. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's to bring us to begin to use our minds to see who we are, who we can be. It's a massive resource that we have. But the minute you can change the thinking, you can change our thoughts, the way we see ourselves and understand ourselves, you know, So yeah. That's why I wrote the book. Women have for centuries been led by a male-dominated society, which has contained and prevented many women from fully experiencing and exploring their full potentials and strength. They have tried to make her into what I describe as the living dead, where alive she is to stay boxed up, silent, emotionless, and still. Yet inside her, the woman knows something about that position doesn't feel right. Unfortunately, many women stay contained within the set parameters, but ever so often the box gets too small and some women get the urge to explore life. The challenge of integrating these two positions, the conflict between the internal and the external, has presented modern women with a great dilemma of how to be women, further fueling their stress. It is amazing that the only commonality between races, religions, sects, traditions, cultures, theologians, and even politicians is the continuous perpetuation of the subordination of women. They are frequently categorized as the weaker sex. They are assigned gender-based roles. They experience glass ceiling in employment and earn about 25% less than men in the same role. This has been happening for centuries, both overtly and covertly, even in places where you would least expect it. This has led many women into an inferiority positioning where women are at the bottom of the hierarchy just because of their gender. Should women continue to be judged, classed, paid, positioned, and treated on the basis of her gender or on the basis of her ability? Or can women hope that truly what is good for the goose is good for the gander? The difficulty with addressing such issues is that the male folks are the beneficiaries and as such do not have a vested interest in the topic, while the females who do are blacklisted and labeled troublemakers and feminists. The extent of the problem can be seen in the natural benefit attached to being male and the automatic disadvantage of being female.
Wow, that's truly amazing stuff. Really good, really good passage to read. Yeah. So tell us, the 12 qualities to transform society one woman at a time. What are the 12 qualities?
I don't know if I can reel all of them off my head.
But so we have, you know, the unforgettable woman is bold. She takes the initiative. She's caring and tender. She's financially independent. What would you say the most significant ones are that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think one of the major ones I would love is that an unforgettable woman is bold. Mm-hmm. It's so important because boldness gives you the ability to say yes and to say no. Boldness is the ability to look what you're afraid of in the eye and just do it. You know, one of the things that holds us bound in limitations is just the fear, you know, of what would happen. And most times when I do seminars, I say, if you were not afraid, you know, if you were not afraid, what would you do? If you look at whatever that answer is, that is your answer to what fear is depriving us from. Mm-hmm. So boldness is the thing that helps us to challenge our fear. Boldness is not the absence of fear. We will, till we die, fear will always be there. But what happens is that we're able, in the face of our fears, we're able to do the things we fear. We're able to challenge it. We're able to look at it and say, no, that's not true. Because a lot of things we're afraid of actually are not true. Something else I talk about the power of the imagination, you know, that an unforgettable woman, you know, is not moved by what people say. And I think that's one major challenge, you know, of women, that we are not able to release who we truly
holds
are.
Holds us back then, it holds and limits us. Back,
absolutely,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Because we keep thinking, what's he going to say? What's she going to say? Things like that. Then you're never your true self.
Sure. And here's a song request by Ubun herself. The song is called Shake Yourself Loose by Vicky Winans. One of the topics or the themes in the book, I suppose, that really echoed with me was the question of how can the modern day woman manage her ever increasing multiple identities and still live a fulfilled life? So women are doing it all effectively, you know, so they're managing the home life, the household work, and then their own careers, as well as trying to find time for their own personal things, whether it's the gym or it's shopping or going to the movies. Where do you see that fitting in at the moment? How do you see it's progressing? Are women becoming overworked increasingly to the demands of modern life?
Oh, I think there was a research that came out sometime last year in Ireland that showed that actually that women's stress level was so high because we're doing so much. The traditional role of men as breadwinners has changed, and you find a lot of homes now, women are the, you know, maybe main earner in the family, yet the woman does 80% of the work at home.
Mm-hmm. So you read that study,
you know, yeah. So it's mm-hmm. so... it's so frustrating for women. And what happens is that a lot of women lose themselves so that they always place their needs last. And that's what society has taught us, that a good woman is the one who places herself last. I said, but my girl, you can turn up dead one day. A friend of mine, she's Irish, you know, she told me that many years ago. And it stayed with me. She said, Ebon, a sick woman is not loved and a dead woman is easily replaced. So I tell all my friends, I say, if you drop down dead today because you're trying to be superwoman, you're trying to do everything, please everybody and be nothing to yourself, you will be replaced in 6 months. They will get another model of you, younger, you know, to replace you. So you need to be careful of
yourself. Look after yourself.
Look after yourself.
Mind yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, I learned that, you know, and I was in the book, I was saying, look, all Irish women, you know, you guys gave me a gift. Mind yourself.
I'm
giving it back to everybody again. Mind yourself. It's so important. But what happens is society has taught us that we should take care of others. You see, you can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is that the modern woman is so depleted that we go to bed bitter, angry, depressed, just really messed up. And I'm saying that is not a good foundation. What's happening is our health, is our mental health. And I think it's so, so important that society knows the damage that it is doing to the women in the society. We don't see it on the outside, but the damage is on the inside. So people always ask, can we have it all? We can try.
We can try.
We can try.
We try our best.
One of the things I talk about in the book is the five different types of women. And it's not like if women wake up one day and decide, oh, I'm going to be superwoman or codependent. It's a reaction. It's an outward working of the pressures that we find ourselves in as women. We become that as a coping mechanism with the stereotypes and the challenges that society pushes on women's lives. So I talk about the martyr, I talk about the superwoman, I talk about the codependent woman, and I talk about the independent woman, and then I talk about the unforgettable woman. And so when I talk about the unforgettable woman, she's not a complete finished product. She's a woman in the process of becoming. And that's why the title is Becoming. That helps us to be kind to ourselves. When you know that as a woman, you're in the process, you're not there yet. So that's why I can go to bed at night, not depressed. Why? Because I know my life is a mess. It's not everything I want, but I'm in the process. So I'm kinder to myself. So I wake up the next day and I know, okay, that was what happened yesterday. How do I fix it? What can I do? So it's a process.
Tomorrow is another day.
Absolutely. Tomorrow is another day. And so it just helps me just understanding that my life is a process. If you read this book and that's the only message you get from me, I would have done a massive job. I would be so excited. And what I'm saying is that you today can get into the driver's seat of your life and program and change the next 10 years by what you do with your mind and what you do with your time. Begin to invest those two assets. Don't let people put rubbish into your mind. When thoughts come into your mind, when people put things in your mind and say you're no good or this part of your body is too flabby, you need to wake up and realize that that mind belongs to you. I'm not going to let you come and mess up my mind. I will kick it out. And that's how we begin to break down those structures. But what happens is that we react. We respond and we become one of these women, either the martyr, the superwoman. You kill yourself to be everything to everybody and nothing to yourself. You know, we become codependent, or we become independent, where we can say, I don't need anybody. And then you get wake up one day and you realize, I need people. Sure, you know. Yeah. So I'm just going to read a quick passage here. It's about the codependent woman. When an adult woman shows a lack of good sense of self, personal boundaries, and the resources to create the type of life that honors her, but instead she merely strives to live up to others' expectations or live a lifestyle designed to impress others, then such a woman can be called a codependent woman. This dependency can be on the children, on the spouse, partner, even a colleague at work. Meanwhile, she of course ignores her own needs and wants. In fact, codependent women often look to a partner, their roles, or a lifestyle for a sense of identity. A friend used to say, "Don't complain about what you permit." He honestly did me a great favor, because that is one principle I live my life by. It stopped me from feeling sorry for myself. It stopped me from taking on the victim role and having a one-woman pity party where I am the host and only guest. I stopped concentrating on what I perceive people to be doing to me, and my focus changed on what I am permitting people to do to me. That way, the power returns to me and I can control and stop what I don't like. For example, I remove myself from abusive or unprofitable friendships. I stay where I am celebrated and appreciated.
And that was some great music there in the background by Laura Izibor. You are a migrant woman from Nigeria, as you've told us. You've called Ireland home for many years, and you're quite active in encouraging diversity of voices in the media, as well as bringing women's issues into the media. So where do you think Irish media stands dealing with diversity and women's issues?
Oh, I think we're still light years behind. You know, I mean, light years behind. I mean, I sit on the RTE Audience Council, and one of the issues I bring there every time I get the opportunity is to insist that the Irish media does not show the diversity, does not show what constitutes the Irish society today. So if we go back to the census, 2010 census, we see that maybe 14%, you know, of the population are migrants. And we see that whatever percentage are youths, whatever percentage are people with disabilities, you know. And so if you look up there, look at the media, it does not reflect it. You know, we don't see them there. We only see them, the migrants only come into the media when they have killed somebody, or you know, or they've defrauded something. That's when. So what we do is that we use the media to continue to promote a stereotype. You know, some people are trying. I mean, some brilliant work. I mean, like Near FM, you guys are doing, you know, brilliant job. So I mean, yeah, seriously. I mean, so some people are trying. I'm just saying that we need to do more.
And how do you think that we can improve that, I suppose, in the media world, that we can get that more diversity? Is it about open-mindedness? Is it about reaching out to those communities that haven't been previously given a platform in the media?
There are things that we can do. You know, I'm not saying get somebody up on radio who can't speak, or get somebody on television who can speak. But you can't tell me that in the whole migrant community, you can't find people who can present something.
Sure.
You know, for me, it's not just about our generation. I'm saying the next generation, the children who are coming in the next 10 years, the proof of integration of a community is the life of the children. Mm-hmm. So the next generation in the next 10 years are not going to be Nigerians they're going to actually be Black Irish. They know all that culture. This is the culture they know. But if they look at the top of the ladder, if they look at the media, there are no role models for them in Ireland. So there's nothing for them to aspire to. Sure. You know, so if we can begin to create channels, you know, and opportunities, and to bring migrants in, you know, bring youths in, you know.
I suppose if we go back to talk about the book a little bit more specifically, you're a motivational speaker. even just listening to you for the last while, it's just so inspiring. So a quote from the book is, if you change a woman, you change a whole family, community and society. What would you say the overarching message that you want to send to the women listening in is?
I think I want to just say that we can be whatever we want to be. That society doesn't need to tell us who we can be. That there's so much resource within us. But whatever we focus on, whatever we give the most to, is the only thing that is going to reward us. And so that we need to be aware of what we're doing. We don't need to wait until we're 90 and nearly in the box before we realize, you know, I only gave to this. That we have assets. You can be whatever you want to be. Remove those limitations. There's nothing wrong with a woman having a career. There's nothing wrong with a woman having an ambition. There is nothing wrong with a woman having a desire to do things. You know, society has taught us that, you know, be a mother, that should be enough. Then it should be enough for men to be dads. You know, and we need to find the space within ourselves to actualize, to fulfill ourselves. See, all those desires, all those potentials, they are talents within us, they are potentials, they are abilities that are just residing there. Somebody says that the graveyard is the richest place. What I'm saying is that so many women are going to go to the grave with their abilities. There are so many books that are inside women that are unwritten. If I had looked at everything that was not working for me last year, I wouldn't have written this book. But in the midst of being a mother of two and a wife of one, and I started my PhD last year, and I was working full time last year, I found the place because I realized that something, this book is about me, is something that I want to do for me. And I'm saying that as women, can we find the one thing that we want to do for us? If the family were taken away, if the car was taken away, if the job was taken away, who are you? If you don't have an answer to that question, that is the thing that makes a lot of women sad at night. Because we don't have a life outside of these things. I'm saying, can we find ourselves? That person you were before you got married, or that person you were before you got into relationships, or you got, you know, hooked on being the carer and provider and cook and driver. That person, she still exists. That little girl who had dreams and ambitions, can we find her? Can we keep the girl alive and keep the woman breathing? Can we help the woman to actualize who she is? And I think it's possible.
Well, you've given me a lot of food for thought, and all our listeners out there, a lot of food for thought as well. You truly are, Ibun, an unforgettable woman.
Thank you.
Yourself. And thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Thank you to Ibun Akpovetta, author of Becoming Unforgettable, Uncovering the Essence of the Woman. To get a hold of Ibun's book, you can buy it on Amazon, on Google Books, or in Books Upstairs. This has been Celine Quinn for Culture Shots. Tune in every Monday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. here on Near FM. And to listen back to past episodes, log on to nearpodcast.org/cultureshots. For news, updates and more, visit nearintercultural.ie.
The content and views expressed in this program are those of the participants alone and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of POBL, the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration, or the European Commission.
This project is co-financed by the European Commission under the European Integration Fund and is supported by the Office for the Promotion of Migrant Integration in the Department of Justice and Equality and POBL.